It's time for the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. It's time for the game on News Talk 1400 WKNW Sault Ste. Marie. For the next 2 hours, we'll get an in-depth look at local sports in the Eastern Upper Peninsula and Algoma region and hear from the coaches and players that are involved in the game. We'll also analyze the college and pro sports scene across the region and dive into the biggest national stories, too. Now, let's get to the game and join your host, Scott Nason.
Greetings and salutations and welcome to the game on News Talk 1400. You can also hear our show online at newstalk1400.net and podcasts available at thegamesportshow.podbean.com. As the man said, my name is Scott Nason, broadcasting from our News Talk 1400 studios in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, on this Tuesday, May 31st, 2022. The game, the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. We'll be with you up until 8 o'clock tonight. And coming up on the show, we'll be talking to Lake Superior State University's track and field sophomore Jenna Fleming, fresh off competing for the national championships in Division II this past weekend at Grand Valley State in Javelin. We'll talk to Jenna about her season and the national championships. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll be joined by co-host David McKay Jr. from the Game Sport Show in Sioux, Ontario, to give us an update on all the goings-on in the North. We'll also be joined by Butch Davis, co-host of the game and host of Butch on Sports, who will join us to talk about what's going on in the Metro Detroit sports region and around the area, along with him sitting down with yours truly for the Sports Roundtable. But as always, we start with local sports as the regular season is ending in spring sports. And, well, we've already had some postseason action just a few minutes ago at James Field. Let's start with high school softball. From this past week, a week ago on Tuesday, the Sioux High Blue Devil softball team dropped a pair of Straits Area Conference softball games against a very good Sheboygan team. Sheboygan would win game 1-8-2. Lucy Husky hitting a double and a triple for the Blue Devils in game one, and Sheboygan would finish the sweep last Tuesday with a 21-9 win over the Sioux High Blue Devils in game two. Hannah Maurer, she goes 4-for-4 for the Blue Devils, which included a home run, double, two singles, and five RBIs. Last Wednesday, Rudyard, they sweep Brimley in a Straits Area Conference doubleheader, winning the first game 18-8. Eve Chaney, she goes 4-for-4 for the Bulldogs, while Megan Bradley, she goes 3-for-3 with three RBIs. Rudyard would beat Brimley in game two in high school softball last Wednesday. 11-4, Jalen Clark. She goes 3-for-3 for the Bulldogs with four RBIs. Pickford on Wednesday, they fall to Pelston 6-1 in a non-conference game at Pickford. Pickford with just two hits in that game, Lucy Bennon and Lizzie Story. Game two, Pickford held a 3-1 lead. However, that game was canceled due to inclement weather. Sioux High dropped a pair of softball games against Petoskey on Friday at Losey Field. Petoskey would beat the Sioux 9-6 in the opener. Danica Bergeron, she goes 3-for-3 for the Sioux High Blue Devils, while Haley O'Connor and Audrey Smith, they both go 2-for-4. Petoskey would win game two over Sioux High 14-6. Paris Kagaris with two doubles and two singles for the Blue Devils, going 4-for-4. So we are to the districts in high school softball and baseball. Sioux High will host a district in Division II, District 33. The first round game being played right now as Marquette is taking on Sheboygan. The winner of that game will meet Escanaba on Saturday at 11 a.m. at Losey Field, with Sioux High meeting Kingsford on Saturday, 1 o'clock start time, with the district final to be played after that. The winner of the district will advance to the regional being played in Gaylord next weekend. Rudyard, Pickford, and Brimley will travel to Newberry for their Division 4 District 100 on Friday. Pickford will meet up with Rudyard in the first district semifinal at 10 a.m. on Friday. Newberry will take on Brimley in the other district semifinal at noon, with the district title game to be played shortly after that. The winner of the Newberry District will move on to the regional being played in Norway next weekend. St. Ignace, they will be in Pelston for their softball district in Division 4. The Saints are facing Pelston right now in a first-round game with the winner to take on Lanson on Saturday in a district semifinal at 10 a.m. The other district semifinal sees Mackinac City taking on Harbor Light Christian at noon with the district final to follow. And the winner of the Pelston District will advance to next weekend's regional, which will be played in Pelston. High school baseball from this past week. Rudyard, they had a very good week. They beat Brimley on Wednesday in two games, 13-1 and 12-2. Rudyard would also extend their win streak to 14 games on Thursday as they swept the Hillman Tigers, winning 19-0 and 14-5. In that first game, EJ Suggett, he has two home runs and five RBIs in the effort. Brett Mayer, he goes 4-for-4 in game two with two doubles, two singles, and three RBIs. Rudyard closes out the regular season with a doubleheader sweep over Gaylord on Saturday. The Bulldogs swept the Blue Devils 7-3 and 12-5. And Rudyard, after a slow start by their standards, they've won 16 straight games and head into the postseason with a 22-6-1 record. In the opening game, Aiden Bickle, he goes 3-for-4 for the Bulldogs, while EJ Suggett in game two goes 2-for-3 with a home run. Sioux High, they had their final tune-up before districts on Friday. They would lose to Petoskey 5-0 in game one and 12-3 in game two. Well, postseason action began earlier this afternoon at James Field. That game ended about 10 minutes ago, and what a game it was as the Sioux High Blue Devils took on Kingsford in a first round at District 1, District 33, Division 2 game at James Field. It went to 8 innings. Sioux High was down 2-1 in the bottom of the 8th inning, but a balk sent the tying run across the plate, and a walk-off hit by Josh Lumsden gives the Blue Devils a 3-2 win earlier today over Kingsford. So the Blue Devils, they will advance to the district semifinal on Saturday, also at James Field against Escanaba at 11 a.m. You can hear that game over on 1230 WSOO with Dave Watson, starting with the pregame show at 10:45. The other district semifinal on Saturday in the Sioux sees Sheboygan taking on Marquette at 1 p.m. with the district championship to follow. The winner of the Sioux District will advance to the regional semifinal in Petoskey on June 8th. In Division 4, Rudyard, Pickford, and Brimley will play their district in Pelston. Rudyard, they are taking on Mackinac City tonight in a first-round game with the winner slated to face Pelston on Friday at 10 a.m. Pickford, they will take on Brimley in the other district semifinal on Friday at noon with the district title game to follow. And the winner of the Pelston District will advance to a regional semifinal game in Pelston on June 8th. High school track and field from this past week. Last Tuesday, the Pickford Panthers sweep both the boys and girls Division III regional titles on its home track. Pickford would qualify athletes in 16 of 17 events, finishing first. Rudyard was second. Cedarville Detour was third. Individual winners for Pickford, Noah Borowski winning the 100 and 200 along with the long jump. Caden Aubrey, he wins the 110 hurdles, while Josh Sullivan wins the 300 hurdles. Hunter Hagen wins the 800 and 3200, while John Smith winning the high jump. Aiden Andres of Cedarville takes first in the 400. Rudyard's EJ Suggett wins the shot put and discus. Pickford wins the girls meet, followed by Rudyard and Brimley. For the Panthers, Lizzie Story, she takes first in the 100 and 300 hurdles. Lucy Benin, winning the 200 and the long jump, while Haley Cornwell, she takes first in the 3200. Sydney Stevenson, she takes first in the pole vault, while Cadence Podizak wins the discus. For Rudyard, Tristan Smith, she wins the 400 and 1600, while Alicia Cheney winning the high jump, and Carly Mayer for the Bulldogs winning the 800. For Brimley, Grace Hill takes first in the shot put, while Autumn Trombley finishes first in the 100 dash. Pickford would also secure EUP Conference track and field titles on Thursday. Pickford would win 12 of 17 events, the boys rather, finishing first, Newberry second, Cedarville Detour 2 or 3rd. Pickford's Noor Broski winning the 100, 200, and long jump. Hunter Hagen wins the 1600 and 3200, while Josh Sullivan ties for 1st in the 110 hurdles. Caden Aubrey wins the 300 hurdles, ties for 1st in the 100 hurdles, and John Smith winning the high jump. Eric Edwards of Newberry wins the shot put, while Marco Juarez takes 1st place in pole vault. Aiden Andres of Cedarville Detour, he takes 1st in the 400, while Haas Sweeney wins the 800. Engadine's Matthias Miller wins the discus. Pickford, they would win the girls' meet, followed by Brimley and Rudyard. Pickford's Lucy Bennon, she takes 1st in the 200 and long jump. Haley Cornwell, she wins the 3200, while Caden Podizak wins the discus. For Brimley, Autumn Trombley wins the 100, and Vivian Carrick, the 100 hurdles. Grace Hill finishes 1st in the shot put. Rudyard's Tristan Smith wins the 400, 800, and 1600, while Cedarville Detour's Haley Coleman takes 1st in the 300 hurdles, and Leia French of Engadine, she takes 1st in the high jump. Ontario Hockey League, Game 6 of the OHL Western Conference Final is tonight in Flint as the Firebirds look to make it to their first ever Ontario Hockey League Finals. They hold a 3-2 series lead over the Windsor Spitfires. The Firebirds would win Game 5 in Windsor on Sunday, 4-3. And if the Spitfires win tonight, they will host Game 7 tomorrow. And if the Flint Firebirds win tonight, they will take on Hamilton. The Hamilton Bulldogs, 12-0 in the postseason after sweeping North Bay in 4 games in the OHL Eastern Conference Finals. NOJHL, well, the Sioux Thunderbirds season came to an end last Wednesday with a 6-1 loss over Dauphin Kings at the 2022 Centennial Cup in Estevan, Saskatchewan. With the loss, the Thunderbirds wrap up the 11-day event with an 0-4 record. And the Brooks Bandits, they would capture their 2nd consecutive Centennial Cup over the weekend as they defeated the Pickering Panthers 4-1 on Sunday in Estevan. Those are your local sports. Yeah, but we have more coming up on the game. We're going to take a quick break. We come back, we will be talking to Jenna Fleming, sophomore from the Lake Superior State University track and field team. Jenna was taking part in the Division II Track and Field Outdoor Championships, which took place in Grand Rapids, Michigan, just outside Grand Rapids at Grand Valley. We'll talk to Jenna about that event and her season and career as a whole at Lake State, all coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400.
Are you looking to get fit or maybe just stay in shape?
The All-in-One Fitness Club can help you with all your fitness wants and needs. Their great facility is fully equipped with locker rooms, saunas, and the best cardio equipment, along with the best plate-loaded and cable equipment around. The All-in-One Fitness Club also offers great deals for seniors, students, state, and federal employees, all with no yearly contract and no hidden fees.
Wow!
Come join today upstairs at the Big Bear Arena, where you'll achieve all your fitness goals. For more information on hours and more, go to Sutra. TribeHealth.com.
Are you a do-it-yourselfer homeowner or even a professional contractor and need quality electrical supplies? Maybe thinking about doing some upgrades and don't know where to start? Everything Electric has supplied the Eastern Upper Peninsula for over 40 years. Their experienced staff can help you choose the right supplies you need for your home, business, farm projects, or anything in between. Call 906-632-1235 or come in and talk to the experienced guys at Everything Electric, 2893 Ashman, Sioux, Michigan.
Ah, the joys of cooking. Just find a recipe, get the ingredients, preheat the oven. Okay, this is already too much. Pull up Applebee's to go instead. Choose from the whole menu, order and pay online, pick it up, and now you're home with dinner. Ah, the joys of not cooking. Applebee's to go. Now that's eating good in the neighborhood.
Pick up your next meal with Applebee's Carside to Go. Order and pay online, pick up, and head home.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Madigan Pingator, your independent Auto Owners agency on West Water Street in the Sioux. You can catch podcasts of the game at thegamesportshow.com. Now let's get back to it with Scott Nason on News Talk 1400.
6:15 on the game, News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you. And joining us on the game, Jenna Fleming. Jenna is a sophomore on the Lake Superior State University women's track and field team as she wins her second consecutive GLIAC championship last month in javelin and was participating in the Division II national championships this past weekend at Grand Valley State University. Jenna, first and foremost, thanks for taking time out and welcome to the game.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, great to have you on, Jenna, and I was fortunate enough to go down with my wife, Becky, who's the athletic trainer at Lake State, attending the Division II National Championships, which went on at Grand Valley State University around the Grand Rapids. And Jenna, you qualified for your first ever national championship in javelin, finishing 11th place over the weekend. Just before we get to this weekend and preparations, just overall, you know, your career at Lake State has been tremendous. I mean, you've set personal records, you've won GLIAC championships. Is this what you expected coming into Lake State as a javelin thrower?
So in my career so far, I've been pretty lucky to be pretty successful in Canada. And going into university, I wanted to continue that, obviously, and set myself up to be, you know, a nationally ranked thrower in the States and all that stuff. So I'm definitely looking forward to being able to compete at nationals in the NCAA. And I missed it last year by one spot and I was a little bit disappointed. So this year was a bit of a redemption year for me, and it was exciting to be able to compete.
Yeah, winning two straight GLIAC championships and qualifying for your first ever national championship, Jenna. You were the first Lake State athlete or female athlete to compete for nationals since way back in 2013. So obviously that was a big event. And just kind of walk us through the week for you. I know you got down there a few days beforehand and preparations. You didn't look nervous by all accounts, and I don't think you were, but you know that's a pretty big stage. Just kind of walk us through, you know, the event itself and your preparations for the national championships.
Yeah, so we actually arrived there Tuesday. And so I had a couple of days to just adjust and get used to being down there. And every day we would go to the track and I'd have my hour and a half practice just to get, comfortable with it and stuff. And I had been throwing there quite a bit over the past 2 years. So the track itself, I mean, wasn't very new or anything like that, but getting used to, you know, that level of a competition obviously takes a little bit to calm the nerves and stuff like that. But yeah, so I was down there for a couple of days, just relaxing, getting comfortable. And yeah, going into that competition, I mean, nerves are always a thing,
sure.
But national, like I've been to a couple of national championships before, obviously not NCAA, but in Canada and stuff. So I have a little bit of a routine that I follow just to get, you know, the nerves out and stuff. But this is definitely one of the bigger ones that I've been to. So a little bit nervous.
And just as a sophomore, Jenna, you're going to have at least a couple more opportunities to get there. The winner of the event was Candisha Scott from Texas A&M Commerce. She threw an absolute bomb, I believe. Her throw was over 53 meters, which I think was the third longest in NCAA Division II history. And, you know, going back to that event, Jenna, you know, it was a little breezy. And the question I have for you, I don't have a lot of track and field experience, but with winds, is that a good thing for a javelin thrower, or is that a bad thing, or is it kind of, does it really not matter?
Well, it definitely matters. I mean, we are throwing it into the air, so obviously wind has an effect on that,
right?
I mean, it really depends. You know, we prepare for stuff like that, and people coming from, like, I mean, Grand Rapids, you can't really tell where the wind's going to come from, or, you know, if it's going to be a nice day or not. A little bit unpredictable. But yeah, no, the wind does play a factor a little bit. That wind wasn't great, especially coming from behind.
Right.
And a lot of the time, it's hard to adjust to that. And, I mean, I don't want to blame anything on the wind, but that might have had a little bit of a part on where I ended up only throwing 42. But I mean, that's something that you just kind of have to adjust to. And definitely next time I'll have that experience under my belt and be able to, you know, accommodate for that.
Jenna Fleming joining us on the game, sophomore from the Lake Superior State University women's track and field team. And Jenna, looking at your background, you mentioned, you know, growing up in Ontario, you went to high school at Central Algoma Secondary School. You're from Hilton Beach, Ontario. You were in a lot of sports. You played basketball, volleyball, badminton. What made you decide that this is javelin? This is what I want to do. Was there a certain point in your career, you know, in the field of javelin, so to speak, that you decided this was my sport? Or was it kind of later on, maybe late in your high school career, that you thought this was the path you should take?
Yeah. So obviously, I mean, I grew up playing sports. Pretty much anything that I was allowed to do, I wanted to. So I actually started out really enjoying basketball and wanting to pursue basketball. And when I got to high school, I used to be a jumper flash runner in when I was younger for track. And I was having some issues with that, and I couldn't really maintain doing that for very much longer. So I decided that I would pick up a javelin because it looked cool and it was a spear, and you know, who doesn't want to do that?
Absolutely.
But yeah, so I did that in ninth grade, and pretty early on had like really decent success, and I made it to my nationals that year, and every year since then. And I always wanted to do basketball, so I, you know, kept doing it and looked at doing it in college. But javelin, I mean, I had so much success in it, and it was really, I mean, where my life was going to fit in the best, I think. And it allowed me to go to the States and, you know, have my education a little bit, you know, like a scholarship and stuff. And I definitely wasn't ready to give it up when I was done high school. When I was 18, I had won the under... No, actually, I was 17, won the under 18 nationals for javelin. And so, I don't really want to give it up. So I decided to go to Lake State, and that's where, you know, I could pursue, keep continuing to train and have a coach there looking for, like, you know, looking out for me, helping me, and have the resources that I wouldn't necessarily have on my own. And, yeah, that's kind of why I chose to go that way.
And Jenna, that brings me to my next question. You know, how do you train in the off season? Obviously, during the season, there's structured practices. But, you know, I was looking at your statistics as far as your personal best. You set a school record last season, 45.16 meters. You broke that earlier this year at the Bucknell Classic, 47.17 meters. And I'm not a meters guy. I don't understand the whole metric system. So I had to put that in yards. 51 yards. That's half a football field. That's a long way. And I'm very impressed. It's kind of hard to tell sometimes when you're at the event how far those javelins are going. What do you do between now and the time of practice season next year? What are some of the things that you work on during the off season?
Well, I mean, this time is a little bit easier to train. I mean, there's no snow, which is great.
That helps.
yeah. And so before it, like, on my time off of school, before school starts in August, I'm going to be continuing to do some training and actually go to a couple meets in Canada on my own. So I have provincial championships and a couple national championships that I'd like to go to. Just keep me, you know, out there, keep me throwing. And then once we get to school season, it's a little bit, you know, less throwing, more, you know, strength training.
Sure.
And that kind of thing, and keeping my body healthy. Obviously, recovery is a huge thing. I have a little bit of a, not to say injury, but a little bit of pain here and there, but that just comes with athletics, and you got to recover and heal. But yeah, once the snow comes, it's a little bit harder to train. So it's definitely going to be a lot of strength training, speed training, stuff like that.
Jenna Fleming joining us on the game, sophomore from the Lake Superior State University track and field team. And a final question, Jenna, again, you're going to be around for hopefully a couple more seasons here at Lake State. You're majoring in kinesiology. Who are some of the people that have helped you out, not just here at Lake State, but in your early career? Obviously, I'm sure parents come to mind, but are there some other people currently or in your past that have really helped you get to you know, what's been a tremendous career and you're only a sophomore?
So when I actually started throwing, it came from, my high school, there was a really good thrower that I had met. And so she helped me out a lot in my early, she was there for my first year. And so she pushed me into throwing and really helped me there. And once I was done my first year, I actually met a retired principal from Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario.
Nice.
Who, he was a javelin thrower in his earlier days. And actually qualified for an Olympic Games that got boycotted. So he, you know, had some success and stuff. And he really helped me in my early years being able to figure out the technique and really pushed me in, you know, trying to actually pursue something better than, you know, some better competitions and stuff like that that I wasn't familiar with. And yeah, so he really helped me. His name's Fulgo Dellavedova. Definitely really helped me the first couple of years in high school. And then, once I got to college, a little bit different. I mean, I don't have necessarily a throws coach,
right?
But, everyone really tries to help out and learn as much as they can. And, yeah, so, I mean, well, and I got a, you said parents, but you know, parents, you can't do anything without them.
Yep.
My mom brought me to every event that she, you know, that she could bring me to in Canada during my early years. And even now, like with COVID, not being able to come across the border was a hard thing for us. And she hadn't been able to see me throw in 2 years.
Wow.
And so this national meet was a really big thing for me because my parents actually got to come watch, which was really exciting. But yeah, I mean, I've had a lot of help over these years and especially coming from, you know, Northern Ontario,
right.
Upper Michigan.
Yep.
It's hard to, you know, it's hard to, without those resources to find success. And so I've been very fortunate to be able to do as well as I have.
Well, Jenna, Lake State is very fortunate to have you on their track and field team. Jenna Fleming joining us on the game, sophomore from the LSSU track and field women's team as she competed in her first ever nationals this past weekend, finishing in the top 12, winning back-to-back GLIAC championships for the javelin. Jenna, appreciate you taking time out for joining us on the game. Have a very nice and enjoyable summer, and we'll certainly look forward to seeing you back on the track next season. Thanks for joining us, and take care.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a break. We come back, we will keep it in Northern Ontario as we will talk to David McKeag Jr., all coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400. Welcome back to The Game on News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you. Joining us now, co-host of The Game here on News Talk 1400 and host of The Game Sports Show in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, Dave McKeag, joining us once again on The Game. Kegger, it's a hot one to end May, and we're enjoying it indeed. How are you doing, sir?
Scotty, my friend, I am doing great. I love the heat. I know you and I were connecting off air a little bit that it seems like it may not be around too long. Might have to have a little spell of cold or colder weather, I should say, for a little bit before we start feeling more consistent summer weather, which let me tell you, I am looking forward to so much. Everybody that knows me knows I love putting my feet up, laying backwards in the sand, you know, looking up at the sun, riding my Sea-Doo, you know, enjoying some beverages if needed. Either way, I love the summer weather. So you know what? I'm enjoying the heat today and just looking forward to a hot summer that we hopefully have. I hope you're doing great, my friend.
I am Dave. As always, thanks for joining us. The last Tuesday edition of The Game. We'll be back to our Monday night slot next week. And Dave, speaking of summer, let's talk about baseball as we've passed the Memorial Day portion of the schedule getting in to June starting tomorrow. Let's talk about your Toronto Blue Jays. A very good weekend for them out in Los Angeles, sweeping the Angels, the Jays winners of five straight, still 5.5 behind the New York Yankees, Dave, but you got to be real happy with the past week and the Blue Jays, sticking around in the AL East. Obviously the Yankees have been hot, but Toronto's right there. Just your thoughts on your favorite baseball team in major leagues.
You know what, the Blue Jays, the first game of the season showed me that it was going to be a little bit of a unique ride, if you will, because ultimately we had that intense game against the Texas Rangers where we were down by a good chunk of runs and then just battled back. And it seemed that overall that the Blue Jays were going to be in those type of games all season, because I remember talking about at the beginning of the year that the bullpen might be a question mark for the team, right? It might be a little bit of an issue for the team. But, you know, ultimately after that, the bats have been quite quiet, if you will, right? They haven't had a lot of big run games throughout the entirety of the year. They've won a lot of games by one run. They've lost games by one run. But then the games that they do win significantly, they win by a big score, but then the next night it's completely different, and or the next game. So the Blue Jays have been really rather inconsistent this season, and that's the word that I want to use. 27-20 is a record that's respectable. You know, I feel like am I, as a fan, happy that that's the record? No, I think it should be better. There are games that they should have won. And ultimately, the season's still early. We're 47 games in. It's a 162-game ride. There's over 100 games to go. People don't think about that. And the Blue Jays got off on a good start this past weekend by sweeping the Angels. Fairly impressive. You know, you defeat Shohei Ohtani, Mike Trout and company in L.A. L.A. that was doing pretty good coming in to one of the top 15 records in the league, much like the Blue Jays, and that's a great step forward. Tonight, they play the White Sox, a team that had so much promise this year. Now they've been hit by the injury bug. Dallas Keuchel has been sent for assignment. So this is a team that's a little bit struggling. The Blue Jays got to pounce on them. They got to ride the momentum and continue this forward throughout the remainder of this week and continue building on it. The Blue Jays being 27-20 is a very a record, like I said, that I'm not disappointed at, because they're not under 500, or they're not 500 exactly, but they should be better, Scott, for real. Yeah, and I really feel like the bats of Teoscar Hernandez, after having injury, hasn't came back the same. If Lyon hasn't hit that hot streak yet, Bichette's had some inconsistencies. Matt Chapman, just a brilliant defender on the field, but his bat hasn't been doing great, and I thought it would really rebound in Toronto given the kind of the flow at the Rogers Center, much like how it occurred to Josh Donaldson. So there's been some parts this year where you have a little bit of worrisome, especially with Jose Berríos. That's another concern for the Jays. You know, he's been really inconsistent, Scott. Like, he's been great, he's shown the brilliance, but then all of a sudden, just for two games, there's that inconsistency. In the previous game against the Angels, you know, he got ousted that game, but the Blue Jays ultimately come back to win that game 11-10. It's such a wicked, exciting ball game. And those are the type of games that if you're going to do that against the Blue Jays, you're not going to win. If you're going to be just swinging bats freely and going nuts with that, that's where the Blue Jays thrive. That's what's going to be a part of their game, where they can battle back. You can never count them out in a ball game. But yes, a little bit of worrisome to the start of this year, but they're starting to get hot, and I think they need to continue to ride this momentum and kind of take advantage of a White Sox team that has been struggling and not achieving their needs this season. But there is a lot of question marks still that I'm hoping can be addressed. And I don't know if it's going to be by trade when the deadline comes later on in the season, or if it's just going to be in-house with the team kind of practicing and really trying to come together. A lot of problems and questions have come around Charlie Montoyo. I'm still kind of holding on to Montoyo. I've been a disbeliever of him a little bit, but he really gets the guys. The chemistry's great in that clubhouse. The only time I've seen him not get along with the player was with Alek Manoah when he pulled him out of the ninth inning when he was doing hot. But that happens. So overall, Scott, again, a little bit of worrisome this year for some things, but they're starting to go on the right wing, if you will, and they're starting to soar a little bit, and let's hope it continues going into this week.
Yes, indeed, Dave. Long season ahead, and we'll have more Major League Baseball talk, including the Detroit Tigers, later on when we're joined by co-host Butch Davis. David McKay Jr. joining us on the game. And, Dave, we are down to the conference finals in the National Hockey League starting tonight in the West. Colorado will host Edmonton. And starting tomorrow night in the East, Tampa Bay will not host. They will be at the New York Rangers, the kind of the darlings of the playoffs, if you will, the way they've come back in both series, winning Game 7 last night in convincing fashion in Carolina, a team that had never lost a Game 7 as the Carolina Hurricanes. So, Dave, just real quick thoughts on those series and your thoughts on the conference finals. Colorado and Tampa on paper, probably the favorites, but what do you think, sir?
Honestly, I sit here and everyone still says, Dave, how do you feel about this, being a Toronto fan, seeing Tampa play the New York Rangers, right?
And yeah.
I can tell fans, fellow Leaf fans will agree with me on this, and I'll just relay it to the listeners. We're used to it. We're used to things that would have, could have, should have, but who knows what would have happened in the second round if it was Toronto, Florida. I really hope that Tampa recognizes that Toronto was the series that prepared them for this. You know, I think arguably, and I said this at the beginning of the playoffs, whoever wins the Toronto-Tampa series, that's who's going to the Stanley Cup Finals. I did say that, and I did say it was going to be Toronto, so that's where I was incorrect. I'll own that, that error, if you will. But Tampa Bay, and when I see that series against Toronto, Tampa Bay, there was that connection that they were so much alike. The difference between Florida, Tampa, I don't know what happened to Florida. And I know Igor Shesterkin has been playing inconsistent for the Rangers to exception of this series, but he's actually been really hot against Tampa Bay this season. He's 3-0, 95 save percentage and under 2 goals against average. So will that continue into the playoffs? Like, this is a whole new time now, different series in the regular season, but Tampa, Scott, is looking quite good. Okay. This team has been there. They've done it. They know how to win. And I just feel like they're well rested. I know usually when you're on the rested fact that, oh, okay, that maybe this other team will come in a little bit more prepared. No, that's not the case. John Cooper and the boys in Tampa have won back-to-back cups for a reason, despite if it was 2 COVID cups. They did it. They know how to win. They will find ways to win. And I think the New York Rangers are going to be in for a very, very big challenge here. And I don't think they're going to get ran out of every game. And I don't even think they're going to get swept, to be honest with you. I think they're going to do better than Florida did. But they're not going to do what Toronto did. They're not going to push them to 7 games. Tampa Bay is going to win this in at most 6, but my prediction is 5. I really feel Tampa is just looking really superior right now. But it's a great story for the Rangers. Young team. They just had the first overall pick a couple years ago where they got Alexis Lafreniere by winning the lottery. They have some exciting talent on that team. Goaltending's looking great. A lot of promise there in the Big Apple, and fans should be very excited. On the other side, if you look at the Oilers and Avalanche, we're going to be talking about this on Top Shelf tonight a little bit, about the Oilers, how they've went to this level and not everyone figured that they would, okay? But Connor McDavid, oh my goodness. This guy
is good
at a Wayne Gretzky level, if not better, okay? He is on pace to almost have 30 points in how many games? I don't even know, 7 plus 7? Like, was it 7 and 7? No. Seven and five, I believe it was. So basic math. Yeah. 12 games, that's to have over 25 points, I think that's pretty good. That's some NHL video game type numbers. And honestly, the Oilers have grown and done well in this playoffs. And it's been surprisingly, the play of Mike Smith has actually been pretty impressive. And there's a goalie that I thought was the worst goaltender in the playoffs, going into the playoffs. But, you know, overall, the Oilers have clicked. They beat Calgary in decisive fashion. I don't know what happened to Calgary. I don't know how they thought they could run and gun with the Oilers. I think that was their biggest mistake because of number 97 and 29 out there. But the Oilers going against Colorado, Scott, they're in tough, just like how the Rangers are. Okay. Nathan McKinnon, when I watch Colorado, that team is a force both offensively and defensively. They look really strong. And I feel like they have the right guys that might be able to contain McDavid, not hold them because you can't do much with McDavid, but you might be able to kind of not have them exposed as much. And I do think Colorado's defense is better than Calgary's. And so I do give the edge to Colorado in that series, but it's not going to be easy for Colorado. I think they're going to win it in six. So I think that series is going six. The other one's going five. And I'm pretty confidently can say that Colorado-Tampa will be the final. I really hope Edmonton does. One of our analysts on our show, Dane Hampshire, who's a big Oiler fan, I'm sure he will be sending me messages after this edition and the Top Shelf edition tonight that he won't be able to be on, but I'm sure he'll be sending me some messages of dislike. But overall, this is a team with the Oilers that have, I think, overachieved to a degree, but it's been on the back of somebody who is the god of the sport, and that's Connor McDavid. And if he does play and continue to do that, that's where the Oilers will have a chance. But I think the weakness that Colorado's going to have to try to exploit is going wide and also trying to bury it on Mike Smith early, because as soon as you get a couple on Mike Smith, it distracts him mentally, and you can start goals will come in bunches. But if you let him feel the puck and get confident early, the series can get quite interesting.
Dave, before we let you go, you mentioned a brand new edition of a Top Shelf coming up here in the next day or so. You also had a new edition of In the Pocket talking about all the off-season moves and the NFL draft and the National Football League. Tell us about those shows and what's on deck for the next week or so.
We got Top Shelf tonight. We do plan to release it tomorrow, so we encourage listeners to listen to this edition and Top Shelf all at the same time, of course. We released also an In the Pocket edition, the bonus upload just the other day with myself and Heichel. It was great talking a little football. This week as well, we do plan to have Strike Zone as well. Dates to be determined. So the Top Shelf obviously will be something that will be uploaded within the next 24 hours that you can tune into, but Strike Zone will likely be later on this week, as we do have men's league baseball starting locally as well, too, that we'll have to have a little fun conversation about as the T-Gem Pandas make their debut. What a name that is.
I love that name.
I'll have to send you, Scotty, some merchandise, if you will. But nonetheless, we've got some good shows coming up. Just got to keep an eye on the Game Sports Show Instagram website and where you get your podcasts. As I mentioned, Top Shelf and Strike Zone coming this week. We do have another special edition upload, but that will not be until next week.
Dave McKay joining us on the game. Dave, thanks as always for joining us. Again, next week we'll be back to our normal Monday night spot. We will talk to you then. Have a great rest of your week, and look forward to talking to you next Monday, sir.
Sounds good, Scotty. And I want to say quickly congratulations to Justin Heichel, who announced that him and his his wife, I shouldn't really say wife yet, but I'm going to say that as it is. He might send me a message too. They've announced that they're expecting a child. So I want to give him a congratulations, one of our analysts on the Game Sports Show. Thanks, Scott. And thanks to the listeners.
Absolutely, Dave. And congratulations to Justin and the company. We're going to take a break. We come back. We will talk to co-host Butch Davis from Butch on Sports, all coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400. 6:48 on The Game, News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you. Joining us now on The Game and for the duration of our show tonight, co-host of The Game and host of Butch on Sports, Butch Davis. You can find Butch on Sports on Butch's website. Just go to simplybutch2. That's too.podomatic.com. You can also find all editions of Butch on Sports on our podcast site, thegamesportshow.podbean.com, as Butch joins us each and every week to talk about what's going on, not just in the Metro Detroit sports world, but around the state, around the country, even around the world. Butch, it's warm and muggy here. I'm pretty sure it's warm and muggy in your parts. How hot is it, and how are you doing tonight, sir?
I don't see a dog out there wee-weeing, man. It's so hot out here.
That's a good way to put it, Butch, indeed. Butch, we were talking earlier about the spring sports season in high school sports. We are to the playoff portion in several sports. We already had a very exciting baseball game. Our good friend Dave Watson was just in cutting a liner, or I should say a game wrap for tomorrow morning. The Sioux High Blue Devils knock off Kingsford 3-2 to advance to the district semifinal on Saturday in Sioux St. Marie. Butch, how are things going as far as high school sports in your area? We got a lot of championships coming up here in the next couple weeks.
Behind, okay, because of the weather and other obstacles, including umpires that you know, did not show up or was not accountable there. So they're allowing the schools that get caught up. However, the playoffs starts this week, and a lot of the other sports there, baseball included there. So, again, getting caught up, allowing those teams to, you know, get a full season in, and also, again, get ready for playoffs.
Butch, we've talked about this a lot on the show. We talked with this, or I should say about this, with Mark Yule from the MHSAA. You know, we're reaching a very critical shortage of officials pretty much across the board in all of sports. And, of course, if you go on the MHSAA website, you can find it's pretty easy, to be quite honest, to become an official in the state of Michigan. And, you know, what does the state or what do schools or something need to do more of? Because it seems like we've had the same conversation for the 7 or 8 years we've been doing this show. What more, in your opinion, can be done?
Advertise and lobby the thing here, okay? You know, there's not enough for the state to go around, to go around each and every district to maybe talk to some juniors or some seniors in the schools, along with other recreational centers there, because I don't think a lot of people are being notified that there is a need for them to be able to work and also to keep something going on there. The state has mentioned that they are slow, but again, they have to take a lead in maybe doing some big-time recruiting. I know we do it, you know, via our show or podcast or whatever it may be. But again, I think the state has to get in there and mainly talk to the schools, the juniors and seniors alike, and let them know there's a need for them.
Butch, let's move on to Major League Baseball. The Detroit Tigers are winning their third series of the year over the weekend at Comerica Park as they take 2 of 3 from the Cleveland Guardians. The Tigers did beat Minnesota yesterday 7-5. Day-night doubleheader today. The Tigers lose 8-2 earlier this afternoon. They'll play the Twins again tonight, coming up here in about 20 minutes. You know, the Tigers were seeing some things better, Butch, but a lot of things remain the same. 18-30, 11 games out of first place in the AL Central. You know, we're seeing some small signs of progress, but again, this team just cannot hit. They have several starters that are batting below 200, including one of their big money man, Javier Baez. Just your thoughts on the Detroit Tigers, you know, winning a little bit more, but certainly not enough.
Put them down. And a big example is today. Cody Clemens is in uniform for the Detroit Tigers for the second game of the doubleheader. As his parents, Roger, and his wife, and other relatives and whatnot are in town to see Cody with his major league debut at second base there. You know, you have minor league players right now who are ripening to get out there. And I said it once myself, the Tigers do not have their best lineup out in the field.
No.
And it's looking like right now, you know, and just to look at it just point blank, Harold Castro, and some others, Hill and included there, is the better outfield is right now versus what they had at the beginning of the season, because beginning of the season, we don't have certain players out there right now. It's a lot of these kids to get in the lineup here and show their oats there. And if they can show their oats and maybe keep things going, we might find that we have a better solution than a big fat problem.
Yeah, Cody Clemens, the son of Roger Clemens, he found out he was being called up, I believe, while he was at Home Depot. That kind of tells you something right there as far as maybe a bit of an unexpected call-up. According to manager A.J. Hinch, saying about Clemens, we don't need him to be Superman. He's not the answer to all of our problems, but this is an opportunity for him to elbow his way into the big leagues for the first time, and he's earned that. he's performed his way here. So I like what you said there, Butch, as far as, you know, giving someone else an opportunity, because again, you know, I go back to hitting with this team outside of Castro and Cabrera and maybe even Hill. I mean, you got several starters batting below 200, and we're approaching June. You have a Shoup batting 181. Baez did get his average above 200 today at 203. Candelario, he's 193. Torkelson starting to do a little better at 211. You have Haas at 167. Camera at 167. I mean, you have so many starters that are batting below 200, Butch. It's not April. It's not even May. We're heading into June. This certainly has to be fixed quickly, or otherwise the Tigers, you know, they're not really in it right now. But if these batting averages continue, this team's going to be well out of it come maybe by the All-Star break.
Well out of it indeed. Again, it's about time for the management staff to say, hey, look, let's start these kids that we've been choking to death for so long, keeping them in the minor leagues. And that's been a big problem that I see with Detroit Tigers. And sometimes I feel that too much seasoning doesn't do right when it comes down to the player ready to go there. Many of these players have done 4 years of college there.
Right.
And for the life of me, I don't think that they need to suffer in single-A ball to get back in the major league. Somewhere down the line, a major league baseball, and again, some general managers need to change their way of doing business when it comes down to these young kids that are drafting out of college.
Butch, the Tigers, like several teams, have had their fair share of injuries, and listening to some of the sports talk from this past week, a lot of people maybe are putting the blame on the injury situation to a rush spring training, trying to get 162-game schedule in. You know, the Tigers have a five-game series against Minnesota. They've had several doubleheaders. Their All-Star break now has been condensed. In your opinion, did Major League Baseball get this right as far as trying to get the entire season in without all that training time that players are used to? Is that a big part, in your opinion, of all many of the injuries that we've seen?
Well, things ain't like they used to be, okay? And number one, I don't think Major League Baseball should take a hit or a slap in the face for when they started the season. Everyone had the same opportunity as the Detroit Tigers. I think the Detroit Tigers are lacking somewhat some discipline when it comes down to using younger kids in the game, besides how they do their business in the spring extravaganza when they come down to Florida in February there. You play a veteran maybe one or two times, maybe get him one or two hits, and you sit the guy down. There's no way he's getting in calisthenics and staying in the best shape you know how. So when you get up here, when you're getting grind and going every single day, now you're hurt or whatnot because you're not ready in spring ball, okay?
And yep.
Or what I call winter ball, as I should say. It's degrading. That goes on the training staff of the Detroit Tigers. That goes on the management of the Detroit Tigers. Some of these players got to have enough respect to come on in camp in decent shape.
Butch, we're going to take our top of the hour break. When you and I come back, we'll have hour two of the game. We'll go around at Major League Baseball and talk a lot about all the sports going on right now. All coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400.
Ah, the joys of cooking. Just find a recipe, get the ingredients, preheat the oven. Okay, this is already too much. Pull up Applebee's to go instead. Choose from the whole menu, order and pay online, pick it up, and now you're home with dinner. Ah, the joys of not cooking. Applebee's to go. Now that's eating good in the neighborhood.
Pick up your next meal with Applebee's Carside to Go. Order and pay online, pick up, and head home.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Madigan Pinkator, your independent auto owner's agency on West Water Street in the Sioux.
Now's the time of the year to get more for your money on a new Mahindra, the world's number one selling farm tractor. Enjoy 0% financing on select Mahindra tractors. That's more for less on Mahindra's best-selling models. We deliver more lift, better fuel efficiency, and more built-in weight. Paul Thompson here with Gaylor Thompson Sales. Come on in and test drive a new Mahindra today. And remember, we also carry a full line of Boss Plows, Cub Cadet, Woods Implements, X-Mark Mowers, Echo Power Equipment, and Doolittle Trailers. Give us a call today at 906-478-3026. And remember, I-75, exit 373 in Rudyard for the best service in the EUP.
Let's get to the second half of the game on News Talk 1400 WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie. It's the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. Now, here's Scott Nason.
Welcome back to the game on News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you as we continue to be joined by co-host of the game and host of Butch on Sports, Butch Davis. Just a programming note, starting in June, we will be back to our regularly scheduled time, Monday night, 6 to 8 o'clock, with our next episode on Monday, June 6th. Butch, we already talked about the Detroit Tigers and certainly some spirited talk about the Tigers off the air. Let's look at Major League Baseball, just kind of go around the league, look at the standings as we're now past Memorial Day and about a third of the way through the season, maybe a little bit less than that with the late start. The New York Yankees continue to play well in the AL East. They have a 5-game lead over Tampa and a 5.5-game lead over the Toronto Blue Jays, who have won 5 games in a row. In the AL Central, Minnesota with a 5-game lead over the White Sox, 7 over the Cleveland Guardians. AL West, Houston, they've extended their lead over the LA Angels as the Angels were swept by Toronto this past weekend at home. Houston with a 4-game lead over the Angels. In the National League, New York Mets continue to impress, 9.5-game lead over Atlanta. Milwaukee still with a 4-game lead over St. Louis in the NL Central. And in the NL West, LA Dodgers with a 3-game lead over the San Diego Padres. San Francisco certainly still in the mix with 6.5 games back. Butch, so just overall, as far as Major League Baseball, what would you say are the biggest surprises to you so far? And maybe some of the biggest letdowns or teams you thought would be doing a little better at this point?
St. Louis is coming up the ladder there pretty doggone quick here, as well as Atlanta there. They're not staying stagnant no more there. In the American League, Tampa Bay is doing its job and trying to hold something there, and they will when it comes down to the Yankees, because everybody goes to a down spot. The Chicago White Sox, everyone expected them to be in first place from the beginning to the end. They're now getting some grass and in 500 material there, as well as Cleveland is doing some winning now and not staying too far back from 500. They got some work to do, but again, being very competitive. And then on the West, you know, the AL West, Los Angeles Angels are falling apart, okay? They're going through some rough patches there. And Houston is taking advantage and pulling away from them a little bit. I expect that that route to go pretty doggone deep, as well as Texas, okay, is now warming up there and getting some good games in there, winning there.
Yeah, Butch, to me, I think the biggest surprise is so far Minnesota in the AL Central. A lot of people thought Chicago was the team to beat, and certainly they're still in the mix, only 5 games back. But Minnesota, that team just has seems to have a good combination of pitching, hitting, and defense. And the fact that we're in June and they have such a big lead, to me, is a bit of a surprise. The New York Yankees' dominance of the AL East, you know, especially at the beginning of the season, there are lots of questions whether their general manager should blow up the roster, whether Aaron Boone as manager should still be there. And there were certainly lots of questions, but they, you know, we've been kind of waiting for the Yankees to have this sort of offensive explosion. And really, their starting rotation, to me, that was kind of the uncertainty of this team. They've been very good. Again, it's only June 1st tomorrow, but that has been a big surprise to me, as well as the New York Mets. Maybe not the fact that they're in first place, but I certainly thought Philadelphia and Atlanta would get off to better starts. And they're already 9.5 and 11.5 games back of the New York Mets. I just didn't expect them to have such a big lead so far right now. And as far as maybe teams that have been disappointing, I would have to put the Tigers, Butch, at the top of the list. I mean, you look at just where they rank with their hitting. Again, they've made some roster moves, getting Javi Baez. His batting average is right around at 200. Four regular players in the lineup have seen their averages dip below or just above 500, and just three home runs. Again, this is June we're talking about, and I think a lot of people thought the Tigers would be a lot more competitive, but this hitting is, I'm just going to say it, it's brutal. It's terrible. It's really unexcusable at a major league level when you're a team that has spent some money. This is just not good for the Tigers right now.
Are you spending the money wisely?
Yep.
I mean, you don't sign someone for 4 years like they done Baez for order for him to come in and do absolutely nothing. I'm talking about offensively and defensively. This man has really embarrassed himself. Like I said, I watched this guy throw a ball from shortstop to first base, and it seemed like every time Torkelson is getting the limelight on saving his rear end and saving catches and whatnot, digging balls out of the dirt and whatnot.
Yeah.
I have not seen Javier Baez of 2 years ago when you knew this guy was Mr. Money here. Tigers is going to have to reassess what they have on the field right now. And again, ask yourself, do they have the best players on the field? And right now, no, they do not. They do not have the best players on the field.
Butch, moving on to college baseball, the postseason will begin later on this week. Tennessee, they were selected the number one overall seed in the NCAA baseball tournament on Monday. The Volunteers, 53-7 on the season. Other top seeds, which will host regionals, include Stanford, Oregon State, Virginia Tech, Texas A&M, Miami, Oklahoma State, and East Carolina. As far as area teams, how about Michigan? They were the fifth seed going into the Big Ten tournament, and they win the tournament, advancing to the college, or I should say the college playoff, and they're hoping to advance to the College World Series. In Central Michigan, a team that seems to be there a lot, they will also take part in the postseason. Butch, we don't talk a lot about college baseball, but we've seen a lot with college softball, which we'll talk about in a moment as they are to their College World Series. This should be a lot of fun. How about Michigan? At 32-26, they make the big dance.
Well, experience as Michigan is in the postseason, we're talking about baseball, that is, they did what they had to do there. And for that reason, they're in the dance there when it comes down to going to Nebraska there. So, needless I say more, I'm very surprised that Central Michigan, who's also in the big dance this year there, as they're the Mid-American champions in baseball there. So it's a lot to be desired in the state of Michigan per se, but again, it's not a big surprise, but again, it's a warming surprise because, again, it's very easy for this team to, put their head down and don't do absolutely nothing. But there's a mark to be set at University of Michigan, and they did that.
College Softball World Series, Butch, eight teams advance. I watched a lot of this over the past couple weeks. Oklahoma, the top seed, along with Northwestern out of the Big Ten, UCLA, Texas, Florida, Oregon State, Oklahoma State, and Arizona. College World Series will begin on Thursday and run through June 9th or the 10th. And Butch, the reason I bring this up is, you're seeing a lot more coverage of the College World Series in softball on really all the ESPN stations. You can almost catch every game live, and I think it's good for the sport. I'm a softball official, and I really enjoy being part of that and watching it on TV. I mean, there's some good action, and really college softball, since we've been doing this show back in, I think, 2015, it's really gotten a lot more exposure, and I think that's good for college athletics in general.
But it's gotten some exposure because, again, you got to sell a product when it comes down to commercial there. And what better way to do it than to put on a product that basically right now they have ignored for years. And I'm talking about women's college sports in general there. As you noted, it's a big climb in showing college sports and women's rankings, whatever it is there, because of the notability there and also the audience that watches that there. I saw the golf championship for college women there.
Yeah.
They put that on CBS or national television there. So, the marketers know what they need to do in order to expose a product there. And it's not necessarily because you're watching a men's sport that everybody's watching there. But the women's sport, they're very loyal and true to the sport, whatever they're dealing with there right now. And again, where there's people watching, there's advertisers going to be looking about. There are stations ready to cash in on the cash cow in advertising by putting the product on there. So hip, hip, hooray for ESPN, because they're doing one heck of a job there. The only job they have not done, and hopefully they do it down the road a piece, is the College World Series be put on national television on ABC.
I agree 100%, Butch. Let's move on to the NBA. We'll take a break before we look at the NBA Finals, but there was some news earlier this week or over the weekend that former Detroit Piston Darvin Ham, I believe from Saginaw, Michigan, is the new head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. Prior to joining the Lakers, he served as an assistant for the Milwaukee Bucks. He's worked there since 2013. This is his first head coaching experience, Butch. Of course, Darvin Ham played 8 seasons in the NBA for 6 teams and winning a championship with the Pistons in 2004. Your thoughts on the new head coach of the Lakers, Darvin Ham?
The Lakers got someone who do not give a good kahoot about who you are.
Yep.
And where you came from. This man will get in your face. He will take you down and break you down to a no-not-one. And if you allow him to, he will put you back together again, okay? Darvin Ham is a no-nonsense person. And it's right now is what L.A. need with people like LeBron James who's trying to run the asylum and whatnot, and Russell Westbrook, basically, who right now Los Angeles is stuck with.
Yep.
But again, I don't think the prior coach looked at some of his abilities, and also looking at the person that they went out there and got, is he really giving up an effort? And I'm talking about Westbrook in general.
Butch, we're going to take a quick break. When you and I come back, we will talk about the NBA Finals as the Golden State Warriors will host Game 1 against the Boston Celtics. We'll talk about that and how one of those teams potentially could be a blueprint for a team that we root for sometimes, the Detroit Pistons, and how they have risen to the top. All coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400.
Central Savings Bank has been your hometown bank since 1902. They live where you live, and they're here to help. They understand that life happens, and so do overdrafts from time to time. Stop into one of their 9 locations and ask the CSB family about their overdraft coverage options, like an overdraft sweep, where they can automatically transfer your money from one account to another to cover overdrafts. Apply for a personal reserve account, that is a line of credit to cover overdrafts, or ask about their new overdraft privilege program for qualifying accounts. Central Savings Bank has all the conveniences you need and want for today's world. Get started by asking what the CSB family can do for you. Bank with the best. Bank with Central Savings Bank. Subject to credit approval, fees may apply. Member FDIC, EHL.
Central Savings Bank. Ask what we can do for you.
MNC Water Systems has a solution for all your water needs. Want clean, fresh drinking water? MNC Water Systems proudly distributes Norway Springs artesian water, bottled right here in the Upper Peninsula. Cooler rental and bottled water delivery for your home and office are available. MNC Water Systems is offering contactless delivery right to your door, as well as curbside pickup. Call Mo at MNC Water Systems today at 906-647-7307. Serving the Eastern UP for over 25 years.
O'Connor's Chrysler Dodge, Dodge Truck and Jeep in Pickford is your full-service dealership, servicing Pickford and the surrounding areas with pride for more than 50 years. O'Connor's top-notch body shop includes a state-of-the-art frame straightener. O'Connor's is also a proud supporter of community events. Its sales team has the experience to know which model is right for each customer. And with financing available to back your purchase, you can drive away today in your dream vehicle. Local people, local pride. Stop in today on M129 at O'Connor's.
Let's get back to the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. Let's get back to the game on News Talk 1400.
7:15 on the game, News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you as we continue to be joined by co-host of the game and host of Butch on Sports, Butch Davis. Butch, I predicted about a month and a half or 2 months ago that Golden State and Boston would meet in the NBA Finals. And my goodness, I got one right, as Golden State will indeed meet the Boston Celtics in the 2022 NBA Finals starting Thursday in San Francisco. Golden State, they knock off Dallas in five games, and the Boston Celtics, they take out Miami in seven games, winning game seven on the road. Butch, before we look at this series and maybe some of the keys for both teams, we kind of got an old school Eastern Finals with Boston to Miami. You didn't have those 120 to 110, sort of scores. It was kind of reminiscent of the Detroit Pistons a little bit back in 2003, 2004 with some of the play and pretty good defense, I think, especially by Boston. Your thoughts on Boston and Golden State meeting in the NBA Finals?
Well, in the Eastern Conference, the referees allowed the players just to beat each other's brains out.
Sure did.
And it showed in some of the calls or the non-calls that were not called there. Especially in the last game there was certain problems and circumstances with three-pointers and whatnot. And also fouls underneath the basket that were not called there. So, again, the best you can get out of any team is when you play defense. And Boston showed up for the games that they needed to buckle down and play defense better than the other team. And you took your head off to Miami because they kept the games close every step of the way there. A four-point win is nothing to smile at, but a win's a win, and Boston's in, and they will take on the Golden State Warriors, which, by the way, has been resting a good spell here. And so we need to know how fresh they will be when it comes to getting the series started this upcoming Thursday.
Butch, the Boston Celtics, this is a team that has been pretty good over the last 15 or 20 years, but you look at how they've assembled this roster, and I think it's a blueprint for a lot of teams, including the Detroit Pistons, and how they assembled this team. If you look at the roster, they've drafted just about every one of their main contributors. Four of their five starters came from the draft, and Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, and Robert Williams III. Celtics got the core of their team through the draft, and then they supplemented it with veteran free agents and trades. Al Horford, has been around the league a long time. He's played very well, and they found that star in Jason Tatum, and they've had just been able to find good complementary players around him. And I think most importantly with the Boston Celtics and Golden State, Butch, number one and number two in defense all season long, and they both know how to play very good defense. Is this a blueprint for the Detroit Pistons? Whether they follow it or not, that remains to be seen. But certainly, Boston, they're not maybe the most marquee team in the NBA, but they've done it the right way. Smart drafts, smart trades, and playing defense.
Well, the Celtics did it in a way that they got a man from Butler, okay, who stuck with it and brought his own team of coaches in there, people who were not known, okay, in the NBA, not necessarily, but known in college or maybe in high school, and brought them in the ladder in those 4 or 5 years that that particular coach was dealing with the Celtics, they grew. So now you got Udoka there, who basically is the coach of the Celtics now. No one knew who he was.
Right.
And who would say that he would be picked right away there? But he was the first man on the job. They hired within. The Pistons, if they have a blueprint, is, which is none.
Right.
They don't even know what a blueprint is, much less being able to spell it, okay? Right. Because they got people in there who remain that basically right now the same old song and dance. And they got going with a construction of feeling that a 3-point shot will win you every game. And it won't. Boston won this game. Yes, in a matter of saying, they did shoot some 3-pointers, but they played roughhouse defense. They were physical when they had to be. They were not afraid to be fouled or to get fouled. And that's a big difference when a referee sees you playing this way all the time, but yet and still, they're letting go. And the referees did let go when it comes down to not making some calls there in the name of basketball there. And this was a physical, rough series. And two teams did fight and scratch and battle, and this is the result of it. Yes, this is a blueprint for the Pistons. But will they follow it? No, they haven't.
No, and again, I don't even think they have a print, let alone one that's blue right now.
Good local coaches around there. Like I said, I mentioned a guy named Bill Jones who's up in Windsor, okay, the Windsor Express, their Continental Basketball League. For the last 5 years, three of the five, this guy has won Canadian championships and whatnot. Bill Jones is very well registered. You know, he's from Southwestern. He played at Iowa, played in the NBA. A doggone good coach of men, okay, especially young players and whatnot. And the Pistons won't take a chance on getting someone, maybe a no-name, to deal with players right now that basically cannot be coddled. You know, these old farts who get all this money and whatnot there, they're coddling these players and whatnot, building them up, not to show any doggone thing when it comes down to being on the court.
Butch, looking at the NBA Finals, Golden State, they've been there a lot over the last 8 seasons. This their 6th trip to the NBA Finals, first since 2019. You know, you still have Klay Thompson, you still have Draymond Green and Steph Curry, obviously, you know, 3 of their key players. But to me, this team has really had a lot of success, not just during the regular season, but throughout the playoffs with the emergence of Jordan Poole, along with Andrew Wiggins and Kevin Looney. And you look at Boston, you know, this is a pretty big stage. This group of players really haven't been there too much before, if at all. How do you see this series playing out? Are you going to give us a prediction as far as what you think, or what do you see happen? I knew you wouldn't.
I had to ask. I'm not that big of a fool here, okay? You know, to speak about the Golden State Warriors there, the Wiggins and other players, you talk Poole again is another player. They had a chance to grow and get gritty during a time where you did not have a Steph Curry or you did not have a Klay Thompson. You had maybe Draymond Green, which was very limited. Now you got Looney, who's basically getting time on the court and whatnot, under some very good instructions from the coaching staff and also the assistant coaches of the Golden State Warriors. And that paid off in dividends now, because those same people I just mentioned, are on the court making huge contributions in the game. So this is going to be about offense against defense there. Who's going to reign supreme? And again, it's going to be physical with the players that I just mentioned and whatnot. So we're going to see how far the referees go when it comes down to no calls. We're going to see how far the referees go when it comes down to offensive stability there.
Yeah, the key to me will be how Golden State potentially handles Boston's defense. So they really haven't faced a team with what you would call a switch-heavy defense. Boston does it a lot. Denver, Memphis, or Dallas didn't. I think the experience of Golden State will push them across the line, but we'll just have to wait and see what happens. Butch, before we get to the NHL playoffs, let's look at the Detroit Red Wings. Was reported over the weekend by Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet that Barry Trotz is believed to have spoken to general manager Steve Yzerman, although he's also spoken to several teams. Again, not much out of the Red Wings camp. They're probably going to wait until the NHL draft and to see if Trotz indeed goes there or someone else. Anything you can report as far as the Red Wings?
Nothing at all there right now. Those rumors are greatly exaggerated at times there.
Yep.
But again, I don't think Steve Yzerman is going to do anything really push a button to after the actual season is over. And at that point in time, he had been maybe talked to several people that is interested in his mind there, and able to talk to some people also after the series there. There are some good assistant coaches out here that are ready to bloom with a young team as sees right now Steve Yzerman is put on the ice. Again, you need new blood, but you need some authoritative blood to get these guys to hop in here.
Butch, quite a year for former Detroit Red Wing Vitaly Flipula after winning a gold medal in the Olympics. He helped Finland win another gold medal at the World Championships as they defeated Canada 4-3, and he achieves the first jewel in the Triple Gold Club in 2008 as he helped the Wings win a Stanley Cup. He's got an Olympic gold medal and a World Championship, a gold medal, and as someone with Finnish descent, I gotta like that one.
Yeah, another one that left the nest.
Yes.
Going somewhere else? You want to do that? What about Darren Helms and whatnot?
Yeah.
He did with Colorado on that last game that they played and whatnot. There, we seem to always have them and lose them. Okay, so. I dropped my head, okay, in sorrow because, again, hopefully better days are to come for the Red Wings as well as the Pistons.
Absolutely. Butch, we're going to take our bottom of the hour break, and you and I come back. We will talk more NHL as the conference finals will begin tonight in Colorado and to begin tomorrow night in New York. All coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400.
Reed Metals and Dafter, your honest main source recycling business, hopes everyone is staying safe. Reed Metals is still paying top dollar for whole scrap vehicles. They also buy heavy equipment, catalytic converters, radiators, lead-based batteries, rims, and motors. Reed Metals will give you an honest price without surprise fees or deductions at the scale. Reed Metals also buys copper, brass, lead, tin, cast, aluminum, steel, and many more types of recyclable metals. Reed Metals wants to pay you for your scrap metals and scrap vehicles. Reed Metals also offers roll-off dumpster service. Reed Metals is open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Visit reedmetals.com. Reed Metals, conveniently located only 10 miles south of the Sioux on Mackinac Trail.
Are you looking to get fit or maybe just stay in shape?
The All-in-One Fitness Club can help you with all your fitness wants and needs. Their great facility is fully equipped with locker rooms, saunas, and the best cardio equipment, along with the best plate-loaded and cable equipment around. The All-in-One Fitness Club also offers great deals for seniors, students, state, and federal employees, all with no yearly contract and no hidden fees.
Wow!
Come join today upstairs at the Big Bear Arena, where you'll achieve all your fitness goals. For more information on hours and more, go to TribeHealth.com. Are you a do-it-yourselfer homeowner or even a professional contractor and need quality electrical supplies? Maybe thinking about doing some upgrades and don't know where to start? Everything Electric has supplied the Eastern Upper Peninsula for over 40 years. Their experienced staff can help you choose the right supplies you need for your home, business, farm projects, or anything in between. Call 906-632-1235 or come in and talk to the experienced guys at Everything Electric, 2893 Ashman, Sioux, Michigan.
Ah, the joys of cooking. Just find a recipe, get the ingredients, preheat the oven. Okay, this is already too much. Pull up Applebee's to go instead. Choose from the whole menu, order and pay online, pick it up, and now you're home with dinner. Ah, the joys of not cooking. Applebee's to go. Now that's eating good in the neighborhood.
Pick up your next meal with Applebee's Carside to Go. Order and pay online, pick up, and head home. You can catch podcasts of The Game at thegamesportsshow.com. Now let's get back to it with Scott Nason on News Talk 1400.
Welcome back to The Game on News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you as we continue to be joined by co-host of The Game and host of Butch on Sports, Butch Davis. Butch, we are to the conference finals in the National Hockey League at Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals tonight in Denver as the Colorado Avalanche will take on the Edmonton Oilers. Colorado dispensing of St. Louis in 6 games. Edmonton also winning their previous series against Calgary in 6 games. games. Game one of the Eastern Conference Finals will be tomorrow night at Madison Square Garden in New York City as the New York Rangers coming back again, their second straight time, winning game seven on the road over Carolina 6-2 last night. They'll take on Tampa Bay, who has had a lot of rest after sweeping the Florida Panthers. So Butch, Colorado against Edmonton. The New York Rangers, they will take on the Tampa Bay Lightning. Your thoughts on those series and how these teams have gotten there?
I don't think home will make a doggone bit of difference in these playoffs there. I think you got four teams who basically, especially in the Western Conference, that are offensive-minded teams, but again, are very big in stature there to do some hitting, do some forechecking, and also protect their goaltender there. And I'm talking about Colorado and Edmonton there. That's going to be a season that basically, that to me, the more exciting series there. When it comes down to the Rangers and Tampa Bay, you're going to see a lot of defense and a lot of patience by both teams not to make a mistake there. And you will see some fights. You're going to see some brouhahas. But again, I think in that particular series, it's the team that's most patient and take advantage of the not play, messing around with the puck like they're playing Sweet Georgia Brown and start shooting at the net. It's going to be the winner of that particular series.
Yeah, with Edmonton and Colorado, you know, you look at Edmonton, everyone knew that they could score goals with Connor McDavid and crew, but very interesting goaltender in Mike Smith. This is a guy that's 40 years old, and he's put up some real good numbers. He's 8-3 in the postseason, a goals against average of about 2.70. He has faced a lot of shots, unlike Colorado's goaltender, Darcy Kuemper. He's faced the fewest shots in the playoffs. And so you know, it's going to be an offensive-minded series with Colorado and Edmonton. You know, Colorado, the prohibitive favorite going into the playoffs, and they've been tested a bit in the last series with St. Louis, especially blowing that big lead in Game 5. I'm really interested to see how Smith plays. We have seen him be shaky at times, give up some really bad goals, but boy, when he is on, he is on. The others...
He's got to have those playing... same particular guys,
yeah,
who are big in stature. We're talking about over 6'3 and up, okay, for both teams, okay? That's the average height of the players on that team. If they're doing what they're doing, and again, Edmonton got physical when they had to do it there.
Yep.
Players like Nurse and others who really did a job defensively in protecting the goaltender. And you know when Smith make the initial save, there's someone there right away to sweep that puck away and go down the ice. They're not messing around. And that's a big difference when you got big men who can skate and know what to do with the puck. And Edmonton is very proficient when it comes down to knowing what to do with the puck.
And the Eastern Series, Butch, with the New York Rangers and Tampa Bay. Obviously, Tampa has been here many, many times, winning the last two Stanley Cups and sweeping out the Florida Panthers. But this New York Rangers team, a very interesting team to me. I always like to use the term, Butch, they're playing on the house's money. Nobody really expected, or not too many people expected them to be in the Eastern Conference Finals. You know, they were down 3-1 to Pittsburgh. They come back. They were down 3-2 to Carolina and finally won a road game. First time Carolina had ever lost a game seven as the Carolina Hurricanes. They're getting good goaltending. This is going to be an interesting series. I think Tampa certainly, you know, top to bottom has more talent and more experience on that roster. But again, Rangers, they're happy to be here and really no pressure on the New York Rangers. This one should be a pretty fun series.
Yeah, but that comes from leadership from Gerard Gallant there.
Yep.
And he's been where they're trying to get right now, the New York Rangers, I'm talking about indirectly here. You have a coach that don't mind, again, calling out his players because this is not a series worthwhile looking at. Maybe the Rangers are not in it. If it wasn't for Jelani in that fifth game calling out his players and calling them soft and every doggone thing under the sun and calling, he might as well call their manhood, okay? Because from that day on, the Rangers have been playing some doggone good hockey, okay? And defensively, they've been very, very well indeed.
Butch, moving on to the National Football League, the Detroit Lions today, they cut one of their kickers as Aldrich Rojas has been sent packing, and so the kicking competition now down to Austin Seabird and Riley Patterson. The Lions also making a move, picking up another player on the defensive line. I know OTAs were recent. Butch, any news on the Detroit Lions? A pretty quiet time of year usually, but anything for our listeners to know?
Some excitement, you know, within the camp because of the new mesh of players that they are in the camp and a new mesh of competition that is being held, you know, accountable by some of the older players there. They can't just come in there now and just go through the motion. There's some young kids beating up some old players and whatnot there, wanting a spot on the Detroit Lions 54-man, 53-man roster, or even just having a chance of playing on the taxi squad, or as, you know, the practice squad, as they call it now, though. So competition is very good in OTAs and whatnot before camp gets there. And I think the big thing is, right now, is management is a little bit more experienced in finding out who's who and what's what. They're not messing around and allowing certain players who basically don't have nothing to show, or players who are feeling the oats and not giving up the best effort, getting rid of them while the going's good.
It's been a big year for the Hutchinson family, Butch. Detroit Lions rookie Aiden Hutchinson, the number two pick in the draft, obviously getting drafted by the Lions and certainly getting paid very well. And over the weekend, his sister, Aria Hutchinson, she was named Miss Michigan USA 2022 on Saturday, as she will compete in the Miss USA pageant later this year. Both the Hutchinsons, Aria and Aiden, celebrated graduations together in April. And so the Hutchinson family, Butch, having a real good 2022.
That's very nice. Very, very beginning of you here, Scott, here to notice that there. And I didn't pay a doggone bit of attention to none of it, really. I really didn't, you know.
We look for the hard-hitting stories here on the game, really, Butch.
That's not one of them here. You know, how did she get it? Who were the judges? That's all I'm hearing right now in the state of Michigan. You know, kind of damper the whole situation now to a no, not one. But again, a winner's a winner, okay?
Yep.
Wish her luck in her endeavors when it comes down to dealing with everybody else in the United States there. And see how this goes.
Butch, we got some sad news yesterday. Arizona Cardinals cornerback Jeff Gladney was killed in a car accident. Mm-hmm. The Cardinals released a statement Monday afternoon saying they were devastated to learn of Jeff Gladney's passing. Our hearts go out to his family and friends who are all mourning this tremendous loss. The crash took place early Monday morning. According to the Dallas County Sheriff's Department, the vehicle was overturned, and when officers arrived, Dallas Fire and Rescue confirmed that two people, a male and a female, were dead. And, you know, this is something that hits sports, Butch, but it hits, you know, all aspects of life. We talked about what happened last Tuesday down in Texas. Just another bad news, sad story in the NFL.
Sad story. And again, drinking, driving, checking your friends, giving a dog out about each other. All those things count when maybe sometimes our friends make decisions that they should not be making there. So, you know, please go out there and care for one another. If there's something wrong, I hate to use the old word and they're using school now, say something, okay?
Yeah.
You know, say something that's going to make a difference there, because we know the preliminary of the accident per se, but I have not heard if he was doing a lot of drinking, or was he in a situation where we know that he was at late early in the morning when this particular crash happened. But, you know, you ask yourself, you know, would I be out that particular that time of day? Or what is keeping doing this? We can all second guess. But it's a shame. He's 25 years old. He's a pro football player, and I'm quite sure not only he would be missed by families and friends, but also the Cardinals as well.
Butch, one other NFL note. Last week, the Las Vegas Raiders had Colin Kaepernick in a workout. This is the first time that Kaepernick has been known to have a team bring him in for a visit since Seattle back in May 2017. Kaepernick hasn't played in the NFL since 2016. And Butch, you were very high on him talking about when he was at the Michigan spring game and that arm strength. Is this the opening that Kaepernick needs potentially to get back in the NFL? The Raiders, they're looking for backups for their starting quarterback, Derek Carr. What are your thoughts on Kaepernick?
It's really no thoughts at all. I think it's about the NFL and the upper management staff. After 5 years, him not being in football, and they also paid him off very handsomely for their wrongdoings under the table here, will they give in and say, hey, look, let's give this man, or this man deserves an opportunity to be in camp? From what I see, he has all the sweetness there. I think the owners, and this is where their blind spot is, feel that they can shut him down to a no-not-win when it comes down to speaking his mind. And a lot of the owners don't want that there. From the old school, they're not looking at the big picture, which everything that Kaepernick has mentioned has some validity to it there, okay, in some type of way, shape, form, or fashion. So it's up to the owners, okay, to come off their high horse and say, and get them out the black house and put them in the house that he belong and allow him to be able to show his wares.
Butch, before we go to our final break, we haven't talked about this league much. You see it a lot on the major networks, Fox and others. The USFL, of course, Michigan has a team. They don't play in Michigan. The Michigan Panthers struggling mightily in the USFL. And Butch, the question I have for you is, have you watched any of the USFL? Seeing the ratings, I mean, it's not terrible. It's not good. Some weeks they seem to be getting a lot of viewership, and certainly the major networks have poured a lot of money into yet another spring football league. We've seen many of them go belly up quickly. Just your thoughts on the USFL. Has it piqued your interest at all?
Yes and no. The old coaches that they picked and how they determined they would be the coaches of certain teams, I didn't like. I didn't like not the personal touch of the Michigan team not being able to play in the state of Michigan. That didn't bother me a lot. And come to saying that, the team that is leading and have not lost a game this year, Birmingham, by all the games are being played.
Right.
Where? In Birmingham,
yeah.
Okay. It's not interesting at all to look at all those empty seats when other teams are playing. And then when Birmingham played, they got maybe half the place filled up there, because again, it's not that Fox is doing a bad job or NBC Peacock is doing a bad job of announcing the games and all. It's not because of the players out there not giving their all. I just think that they need to think about the good of the particular league if they're going to play it, and I'm quite sure they'll do it next year if they have any guts. It's allowed the team to play in their home base.
Butch, we're going to take our final break of the night. When you and I come back, we still have more sports to cover, including the Indy 500 and the upcoming Detroit Grand Prix, Champions League soccer, French Open tennis, and much more. All coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Madigan Pingator, your independent Auto Owners agency on West Water Street in the Sioux.
We'll be right back.
Now's the time of the year to get more for your money on a new Mahindra, the world's number one selling farm tractor. Enjoy 0% financing on select Mahindra tractors. That's more for less on Mahindra's best-selling models. We deliver more lift, better fuel efficiency, and more built-in weight. Paul Thompson here with Gaylor Thompson Sales. Come on in and test drive a new Mahindra today. And remember, we also carry a full line of Boss Plows, Cub Cadet, Woods Implements, Exmark Mowers, Echo Power Equipment, and Doolittle Trailers. Give us a call today at 906-478-3026. And remember, I-75, exit 373 in Rudyard for the best service in the EUP.
Central Savings Bank has been your hometown bank since 1902. They live where you live, and they're here to help. They understand that life happens, and so do overdrafts from time to time. Stop into one of their 9 locations and ask the CSB family about their overdraft coverage options, like an overdraft sweep, where they can automatically transfer your money from one account to another to cover overdrafts. Apply for a personal reserve account, that is a line of credit to cover overdrafts, or ask about their new overdraft privilege program for qualifying accounts. Central Savings Bank has all the conveniences you need and want for today's world. Get started by asking what the CSB family can do for you. Bank with the best. Bank with Central Savings Bank. Subject to credit approval, fees may apply. Member FDIC, EHL.
Central Savings Bank. Ask what we can do for you.
Let's get back to the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. Let's get back to the game on News Talk 1400.
7:46 on the game, News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you as we continue to be joined by co-host of the game and host of Butch on Sports, Butch Davis. Butch, over the weekend, the Indy 500 was run in Indianapolis, the 106th running of America's great race, and Swedish driver Marcus Ericsson wins his first ever Indy 500 as the race was red flagged with just a few laps to go. He ends up holding off all competitors to win the Indy 500. Scott Dixon, who started at the pole position, he led a lot of that race. His day was undone after a pit road speeding penalty as he finished 21st. Butch, I watched a good portion of that race, and certainly anytime you have a red flag finish, it always makes for exciting action. Congratulations to Marcus Ericsson. He wins the Indy 500.
And he'll be in town this week.
Yes, he will.
Boys and girls here. Really to harass the guy. I watched all three of the races there. I watched Monaco early in the morning. I watched Indianapolis at 12 noon. Then I watched the Coca-Cola till the wee hours of the morning here. And I'm raced out there, but I have not seen so many wrecks and mistakes, okay, in a long time. But I had doggone near 18 hours of racing to look at there to say, boy, you got to really respect these drivers out there on the road there, what they're doing and how they're doing it and how they're putting themselves in harm's way just to do what they're doing to give some entertainment to some people like us who watches it and enjoy it there. So it really was a good old time in all the races there. Indianapolis, I think the most intriguing there, other than the Indianapolis, was the Coca-Cola 600, which I've never seen so many wrecks and whatnot, and then repairing cars so quickly where they get them back on the road, only for them to tear them up again. And it was a pickle to watch.
And Butch, you got a pickle to watch this week at Belle Isle, the Detroit Grand Prix. The festivities will start, I believe, today. Yeah, give us a rundown, kind of how the week goes as far as people. You know, we have a lot of racing fans up here, and certainly the Indy 500, a good warm up for the Detroit Grand Prix. Just give our listeners an idea of all the events that happen between now and race day.
Well, the annual media go-kart races tomorrow on Wednesday there. That normally gets really the official media coverage started there as we get out there in Sterling Heights there, which I will not be going. yours truly, I'm not going to drive that far there.
It's a long drive.
I've been in them years before there and got free T-shirts and all that there. It's a nice way to see a lot of your colleagues who are going to be out there covering the race. Again, the media, the big one is the media luncheon on Thursday there, where basically the media gets together. And that's the only way I can do your most damage in interviewing any race car driver you can there. And they're very intimate. You get those one-on-ones there. And it's a heck of a good time there that basically doing that. And most importantly is you get to eat free.
Yes, yes. That's the most important.
The weekend, you... Bellisle, and I understand that we got our old post back where we normally cover the races and whatnot, which is the Bellisle Casino that basically for a couple of years now has been vacant due to COVID and whatnot. And the year before, they was putting us in a little tent or something there, which really didn't work out with a doggone there. But they put us back where... the media should have been a long time ago and back at the casino where we got a lot of information from that particular point there. And also Friday is free day. Free day means that anyone and anybody can come on the island, park your car, or find one of the alternative parking spaces with and around the metropolitan Detroit area, within Jefferson and other places, and get on the island and just go buck wild and getting free stuff and meeting the race car drivers and being able to go in their private homes where they're fixing the cars and all there and get autographs and take pictures. Saturday's all the racing that you want to see and send some. And also Sunday, the big race as well for the Grand Prix. It will tip off the whole weekend. And I'm not only talking about that, but also several bands being out there after the racing has ended for people to go out there and shake their rear end and whatnot and have a good time. It's a pretty well put together event there. And I'm very anxious. After so many years of not being here, to get out there and enjoy that there.
Sounds like a fun time, Butch, and looking forward to talking about it on our next show on Monday. Butch, the European soccer season ended over the weekend, and they are partying hog wild in Madrid. Real Madrid knocks off Liverpool 1-0 to capture yet another Champions League title. Unfortunately, the event was marred by security issues outside the stadium. Fans were trying to climb over gates. There was tear gas fired. But getting to the match itself, Liverpool on paper, probably the favorite. But boy, Real Madrid in these types of matches seems to win year in, year out. It was certainly an exciting end to the European soccer season.
Just like being at home for Real Madrid. Yeah. There, okay? That was like home being in Paris, okay? And anybody had an advantage, it was... It was Spain and Real Madrid there. And that was a doggone close. To me, it was soft, to put it that way there. I did see some excellent scoring chances by Liverpool that did not cash in. But Real Madrid put it in when it counted. Then they played keep away the rest of the way there and won the whole stock and barrel. And Liverpool, again, not a bad year for them at all, but again, that escapes them winning the championship, the champions trophy there.
Butch, in the French Open, American Coco Gauff into her first ever semifinal. She wins today over Sloane Stephens and just completed a little bit ago a quarterfinal matchup between Rafael Nadal and Djokovic. Nadal wins again in four sets in over 4 hours. Don't know if you watch much of the French Open, Butch, but Rafa Nadal, he just goes against Father Time. That guy is as fit as you'll see, and that was one incredible match. And Coco Gauff quietly going about her business into a semifinal.
Young 18-year-old young lady there. We wish her well, okay, in this particular match there. It favors her because they're on clay, and a lot of her doings when she lived in Florida. Those particular rates are on clay there. So she has an advantage on that. They're not hard courts at all. They are on clay there. So that would be pretty good. And I was, you know, I was rooting for Nadal because I don't like Djokovic at all.
I don't either.
I don't like him. I don't care who knows it there. It's just the guy, he breathes smell, okay? And it's not a rose either.
No, it's not.
Better than what he's putting up there. And I was glad to see Nadal put him in his place there. I was rooting for him from day one.
I was as well. Butch, let's get to our thumbs up and thumbs down. I just have one thumbs up, and it's an article I read out of the Marquette Mining Journal by Travis Nelson. This is a couple weeks ago this happened. Two old friends were reunited on Thursday at the MHSA Upper Peninsula Division I Regional Track and Field Meet at Marquette Senior High School. That's where a pair of freshmen, Marquette's Jim Bennett and Sault Ste. Marie's Johnny Osborne, got to compete each other. Bennett and Osborne are wheelchair athletes, and they raced against each other in three events, the 100, 200, and 400 meter dashes. Osborne also competed in the shot put. These races for the boys in their wheelchairs meant more than winning or losing because of their relationship that goes way back. After spending 9 years together at Baycliff Health Camp during the summer, the COVID-19 pandemic ended the duo's time together the past several years. But with this new opportunity to compete in these high school events, they've been reunited. In March, the MHSAA announced that athletes in wheelchairs could compete in track and field tournament competition. Osborne and Bennett now joined Houghton senior Maria Vellett as the athletes in the UP that compete in the adapted events. Vellett competed in the Division I regional at Nagani on the same afternoon as Bennett and Osborne. In the 100, Bennett finished with a time of 28:50, with Osborne finishing in at 44:92. Bennett crossed the line at 52 seconds in the 200, Osborne at a minute 34. They also competed in the 400 events. Both athletes will compete again at the UP Finals, which will be in Kingsford this weekend. Osborne used a chair for wheelchair basketball during these races, while Bennett had another wheelchair similar to the one he used. So both will be racing in the same chair come the finals. These two freshmen, along with Vellett, are paving the way for more wheelchair athletes to participate in track and field. The new MHSAA rule is a gateway for others who wouldn't have been able to compete on the UP's biggest track stage. So I saw that article, Butch, and you know, I work in that sort of field, and I know the family of Mr. Osborne. Johnny does video for the varsity and junior varsity basketball team. Many times during the video, he's doing play-by-play, and he does a very good job at that. And so I just thought that was a really nice story. We've heard too many unnice and just terrible stories over the past week or so, so I wanted to bring that attention to that article. Again, that out of the Mining Journal by Travis Nelson. Good job by the MHSA and great job by those athletes.
Again, and another doggone plus for the NHSAA. Basically, right now, give them a cahoot about who competes and making it an issue here that everyone has a room and everyone has a place that they can compete in high school sports. It's getting bigger and better. Again, the recruiting that they got to do for officials there, that's got to work out a lot better there.
Butch, we got about 2 minutes left. Your thumbs up and thumbs down for the week, sir.
Oh, boy. Thumbs up. Let's give a thumbs up to Boston, okay? The Boston Celtics are winning there. Although, I was rooting for Miami. I really was. You know, I have some affection for the coach. I've known him as a kid, you know, in my younger days of coming in this business, because I worked for his daddy, John Spoelstra, that is. I was rooting for them. But, you know, great series indeed. Boston, good luck against Golden State. You'll need it. I think a thumbs down right now is, again, the negativity. That's got to stop here. The negativity got to stop. We got to do a better job of caring for each other, sticking our hands out, being personal with each other, and not using a gun, knife, or any kind of weapon in order to settle a difference there. There's got to be a better way, and if we listen to one another first and foremost, And not so be willing to have to be right or have a say. I think a lot of things will go a lot better, a lot quicker, indeed.
Well said, Butch. Again, Butch Davis joining us on the game. You can find Butch on Sports on his website. Just go to simplybutch2, that's TOO.podomatic.com, or you can find Butch on Sports on Facebook or on our podcast site, thegamesportshow.podbean.com. Butch, enjoy the Detroit Grand Prix and your weekend. And don't forget, next week we'll be back to our normal Monday night slot, Monday, June 6th, for our next edition of The Game. Thanks for joining us, and enjoy the weekend, sir.
I'm going to try to do my best, okay, to do that there, you and your family as well.
Thank you, sir. That's going to do it for tonight's edition of The Game. I want to thank Butch Davis, along with co-host David McKeag Jr. and Jenna Fisher from the Lake State Track and Field team. Again, if you want to hear the full two-hour edition of The Game, you can find it a little bit later on the website, thegamesportshow.podbean.com. That's going to do it for this Tuesday night edition of The Game. We will talk to you next Monday night for our next edition of The Game here on News Talk 1400.
Thanks for listening to The Game on News Talk 1400, WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie. Check us out next Monday at 6 for the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. You can hear the podcast of the show and other broadcasts at thegamesportsshow.com.